Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMS.
What's your thought process going through this? How do you want to play it?
What I'm looking at is I've got a bit of a tight lie because the grain is in, which means I don't want to go high. It's hard to slide the club under.
You have options. He's an off-the-ball guy. You can motion him in, bring him in close.
And right here, the color is dark. That means the grain's in.
And then now the explosion off of this foot inside gives you the 2 to 3 yards.
And I'm going to take a 60-degree wedge, play it back just a little bit.
Pretty much everyone is sub-4 ERA. Meaning they're going to give up less than 4 runs.
Everybody's got an annoying friend who's really, really smart, and you ask him something simple, and he gives you, like, the brain surgery answer.
It's like there's some sort of robber here.
Hey, Tom, how many shots you want? I want some of you.
Chuck, I've been focusing on football, bro.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
I want Tom Brady. I ain't going to lie.
Oh, go in!
You made it. Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out of here.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Just realized it's Memorial Day. Today's a holiday. Did you know that, Fourier? Today's a holiday.
Did I know that? Hold on. There we go.
Just another Monday to me.
Just another Monday. I tell you what I really need to stop doing is playing with all my buttons.
Excuse me, what buttons are you playing with?
I don't know what the hell I press. Oh, there we go.
You press something that doesn't work?
No,
I'm pressing a bunch of buttons and nothing's working right now.
I leave my Comrex unit around the house, kind of like I leave like my wallet or my shoes. And one, I'll forget where it is. And two, I know people are messing with it. They're touching the knobs. They're turning.
So what do you think it is? Your kids? Your kids just messing with you?
I think that's part of it.
So one of your 15 kids run around the house and say, "Hey, let's screw it up for Daddy today. Let's really mess him up. Push a bunch of buttons here.
Audio not working."
You know what I really wish they would do? Just disconnect it at around 3:30. I wish they would disconnect
it.
Oh, sorry, Glenn. Sorry. No, I'm actually excited. I feel like we have a lot to talk about. We're willing to work on a day where we should all be remembering our fallen heroes and what our military service has done for us.
Yep.
This is good. This is good. I feel like, you know, it gives us, you and I, another opportunity just to have some alone time. I don't like
you
sharing.
You mean nobody's listening? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Alone
what are you talking
time?
About? Oh. No, I mean, no, there's no Lou. There's no Lou.
Oh, there's no Lou. You know, Lou will be back tomorrow.
You know, it doesn't awkward anymore.
No, he's battling people on Twitter. Who takes a vacation for 5 days and all they do is actually go at people on Twitter, like nonstop?
Yeah, you know what? Here's the difference between Lou and I when it comes to just vacation philosophy. When I go on vacation, I do not sit there and engage. I'll look at Twitter randomly, but I don't have a clue what's going on.
Yeah, me too.
And by the time I get back, I need a whole day just to kind of get caught up on everything that happened. Vacation means vacation.
Because everything is infuriating, especially these days. And so you're right. Once you get vacation and you get downtime, you go out there, and Lou's been at the golf course. I've seen him, you know, tweeting about coming off the course or whatever. So you're going off the course, and then you're getting right to Twitter, and you're like battling people who are sitting there, you know, talking to you about the coronavirus. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, to me, like, you know, Lou going at people on Twitter is kind of like, you know, other guys going to a bar to play darts. You know, we're just saying, let's go have some fun. Like, you know, let's go blow off some steam. We'll grab a beer and we'll go play darts. Hey, or pool. Let's go play pool. Lou sits down on his couch, pours himself a glass of Crown, and then starts mentioning and tweeting at people.
You can tell when the Crown's taking effect too, can't you? Like, there's a certain turning point in the tweets when you sit there and go, "Oh, the Crown's taking in now."
Yep,
the
Crown's taking effect. Yeah. Don't want to see you on the mound ever again.
And I'm actually amazed people take the bait over and over and over and over again.
I like it when
it's just a trap.
I like it when they go back and go, "Well, my scientist is better than your scientist. My scientist knows what he's talking about, and your scientist knows nothing."
Yeah, even though we'll be all over the place today, so everyone just hold on to your hat and just enjoy the ride, okay?
And by the way, this is a live broadcast. How many times do we have to say that today? You are listening to a live broadcast, and we're going to prove it to you. We're going to talk about the golf match yesterday in just a minute, so hang in there.
Yeah, you should say
this is live.
Like Brett Musburger when he used to do college football, "You are looking live."
That's one of the all-time great classic lines, isn't it?
Yeah.
"You are looking live."
So, no, what I was going to say is, it's funny you mentioned my scientist is better than your scientist. Yeah. That is part of the problem, right, when it comes to people's feelings and attitude toward the coronavirus and what they'll listen to and what they won't listen to. Okay, well, I went to Harvard, so I'll never listen to a Stanford doctor. Well, I grew up in the South, so I'll never trust those Yankees in the North. It's one of those things where my dad can beat up your dad. My scientist is smarter than yours. Well, you just said it, Glenn. It's true.
It
and
is.
People cherry pick which scientists they want to listen to.
They'll take the one that positions it the way they want it positioned. So instead of going into it wide open, you know, blurry-eyed, sitting there going, I'll accept whatever they tell me. Nope. You go in there with preconceived notions, and then you wait for a scientist to back you up. And that's what everybody's doing, and that's the problem why we haven't gained anything.
See,
so we'll get into a lot of that stuff coming up with the scientists and with the leagues and stuff like that. But we have to start with a live sporting event yesterday. It was delayed, and a little rain problem, and they played into rain for a while. But I got to tell you, I watched, I think, virtually all of it. I think I left it for maybe total of 30 minutes. I was, and it wasn't, it, you know, I wasn't glued to it nonstop, but it was on. And I was watching it during
it
the entire
on.
Period, and it was good. I'm telling you. Now, maybe I'm just desperate, and I would have taken anything. You could have thrown, you know, tiddlywinks at me yesterday, live broadcast or whatever. I would have bought into it. Curling, and I would have bought into it. But I bought into it yesterday. I did. I bought into it.
Yeah, and I think you kind of – so there's a lot of things. One, I loved it too, and I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that there was nothing else on and we've been starved for, you know, some sort of stimulation. Like, we all need stimulation. And this is the first time we've received it. To me, this is the way they should do most golf matches, first of all. I want them all mic'd up. Not necessarily celebrities.
I don't know if I want
Brady to put
back
the,
again for this thing, but maybe find not? Somebody else.
Why not? I mean, to me, what you saw yesterday is just another indication. And my son backed me up on this morning when we were talking about the golf match. He said, Brady's changed. Brady's so different now. I'm like, thank you. That's what I've been saying. This is the new Brady. This is the new Tom Brady that you're seeing. If
what
this
is
was
the new Tom Brady
doing,
I saw yesterday.
Not listen, I'm not saying that the guy doesn't have a personality. My point is
he
that
didn't,
he
in the
just
front nine,
seems
he did. Front nine. He did
well. He sucked
till the seventh.
Front nine.
Right,
okay.
Till the seventh, and he made that great chip shot. Okay, which I'll give him credit. Kind of lucky. I mean, anybody could do that. You know, you get it up there, and then it takes a bounce, and then it pops into the cup. But it was a great shot. We'll give it to him. And based on how poorly he was playing, it was embarrassing how bad he was. Because Peyton Manning was pretty damn good, and obviously he got two of the greatest the golfers ever. That are playing pretty well. But Brady was awful, and he was quiet. He was saying nothing. It took Charles Barkley. They tried different people. What was the woman's name? I forget her name, and the other guy, Brian, whatever. And they tried talking to Brady, and they get nothing out of him. And so what they ended up doing is finally put Charles in there, and that woke him up.
Ooh, yeah, Charles saved the day.
Yeah.
Tell y'all what, man. I want Tom Brady. I ain't going to lie.
Look good in the air.
Hey, Tom, how many shots you want? This Chuck.
Chuck.
Come on, man. I'm going to give you some shots, man. I want
all
some
right.
of you.
Going. Chuck, I've been focusing on football, bro. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl.
Ready
man.
To dominate.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh, no. I love it, though, man. He can take a joke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, go in.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you made it.
Wow.
Take a second at Chuck. Wow.
Hey,
Chuck.
Hey, man.
Chuck.
I got that's
Chuck.
Awesome.
Shut your mouth, Chuck.
Unreal.
Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out of here.
First time, by the way, I realized that Tom Brady was actually in the competition, and it wasn't just some Joe Blow out there, you know, hacking away on a weekend, which that's what he
looked
like.
Well, here's the thing, though. We can all relate to what Brady went through.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you ever picked up some sticks and tried to be good at golf, you will understand and what he was going through. Because, and then, sure enough, he makes a good shot, and those are the type of shots that always bring you back to golf. So I could play like crap for 17 holes. 18th hole, I'll hit a great tee shot, a great approach, and I'll sink it in for a birdie. I leave the golf course shooting 110, but parring or getting a birdie on the last hole and going, you know what? Hey, I think I understand how this game works. You know, it leaves you, if you leave on a good note, it keeps you coming back. But, you know, with Brady, though, I think everyone could understand. First of all, the weather was horrendous. You have a golf tournament in Florida.
That's Florida.
In Florida, and of all the freaking states, there's a torrential downpour, and they just look miserable. You can't even see sometimes the screen. The TV is so blurry. Can't even find the damn ball. But I thought it was great. I thought it was great. That's the way
I thought it was a lot of fun. It there's no question about it. And Brady was a livelier in the back nine, obviously. He made a couple more shots. Wasn't great, but he made a couple more shots in the back nine. But the personality was a lot better. But let's face it, Peyton Manning is more entertaining in that setting. Would you agree he's more entertaining in that setting? Is that your dog?
That would be my dog, who for some reason decided that this would be the one time that she decided this is the bark.
So see what I do? I don't know. You can't control anybody in your household. That's pretty obvious by people who have listened to this since we've been at home. You can't sit down. I sit down when I have two dogs. And I sit down with the two dogs beforehand, and I say 2 to 6, fellas. Okay?
Is that what you say? You talk to the dogs. You say, listen, 2 to 6. Give me 4 hours of silence.
The dogs don't talk back to me, but I talk to the dogs. That's what I love about dogs. They don't talk back to you. I sit there and I say 2 to 6. You two just shut up. Okay,
well, here's the thing.
6 o'clock, you want to yap all you want, 2 to 6, you have to shut up.
First of all, Chateau Ordway, you have a 10,000 square foot home. Okay, you have your own private personal radio studio in your house. I see all the microphones. I see everything. You're living large over there. I got 15 people in my house, and I'm sharing an office with my wife, who hates me right now because all I do is yell and scream at you. She wonders why. She wonders if I like you or not. I say, no, I love Glenn. I just like to yell at him.
Think about this. Think about Christian's plight, though. He, and by the way, he's got a big house. He's such a liar.
That's
right
not
now.
True. Don't you? That's not true.
Big pool in the backyard.
Not true.
You've got a big. He's got a,
but everybody in California
about.
Had a pool.
A big fireplace in the backyard. You're not in California. You're in Massachusetts. You dope. And you got a big old pool. And
a big old pool.
And the problem is, you make the decision, which, by the way, was not a smart decision on your part. You make a decision, honey. I'm going to do the radio show at home because the radio station wants me to do it because we're having this pandemic. And you're running your business here in this office. I'm going to come into your office. I'm going to share it and do a live radio show from 2 to 6. Hey, what could go wrong?
Well, really, I tell you what the problem is, because I was down in the basement. I was down in the basement. She allowed me to come up and hang out with her. Then I got kicked back down to the basement. And then it was so nice, I was like, I'll do the show from outside. But for some reason, I had this wild hair up my ass, and I decided I'm going to rip out all the carpet in my basement. For some reason.
When did you do that?
Last week.
Why? So now you get echo down there. You can't do that.
I got echoes.
So why did
and now
you pull
I
the carpet
to,
out?
I was like, oh, you know what? I don't like the carpet anymore. And I said, oh, let's do this. Let's do that. And next thing you know, I'm ripping out all the carpet. And then I'm like, uh-oh, I have to replace it now. So now that it's so echoey, and I just can't be down there. And I don't know when I'm going to fix it.
So I'm telling you, they keep on talking about the ramifications of the pandemic. And it's not just COVID-19, but what we're all going through. This is a man who's ripping up carpet in his house because he's got nothing better to do.
That's basically it.
That is not a good thing. That's not a good sign for the rest of us.
I'm having a mental breakdown.
No question. Yeah.
And then, let's not mention. So I don't know what you did this weekend, but we are do-it-yourselfers here in the foyer.
We're doing the same thing.
We are do-it-yourselfers. We get our gloves on. We go out. We plant trees. We mulch. And we're like your everyday guy now. You know, yeah. We're not elitist anymore. No. We're blue collar folk.
Mean? When you used to be an elitist when you were that football player.
Yeah. When God forbid I pick up a shovel.
Tom Brady. Except on third down when they bring Vrabel in. I saw
hilarious. Hilarious.
All right, we're gonna get to phone calls. We are taking phone calls today. We're here. With
we
a
are
live
taking
program
phone calls
on Memorial Day. A live program, and again. A salute to all of those people who lost their lives and those who served. We appreciate what you did for us. You allow us to do stupid stuff like what we're doing here today. And we're going to get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. More on the golf match. Did you enjoy it? Or are we just, right now, we have low standards. We're looking at it saying, yeah, it was great because I had nothing else to watch. We'll get into the NBA and the NHL. Are they one step closer to real games? Maybe, maybe not. We'll get to all of that. And again, 617-779-7937 right here on the Monday edition, live edition of OMF.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
It's hard to get to him, right? But, you know, so who, you know, do you bring Eli? Could do that. You bring Nick Foles. Maybe.
Cheap shot. Yeah, Peyton, pays very attention to detail, so I think he's got a lot of good things figured out himself. He's hitting it pretty good in the rain. I'm impressed. He's more of a dome quarterback, so maybe he's the inclement weather. He can actually hang in there today. So.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder. Watch the lightning when it lights up the sky.
Especially in a golf match when you got Tiger out there and Mickelson, Brady, Peyton Manning. So you enjoyed it overall, right, Christian? Christian? Hello? I think we have a problem.
Does he not know we're back?
I think we have a problem. Does Christian realize that when I say a live program, it means everybody's on live? Does he understand that?
You know what? I didn't.
Listen, next time,
I should probably start.
Just put your wife on. I should probably be better than you today anyway. So what difference does it make?
I should probably start paying attention.
Yeah.
I'm a little off today. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little off. I'm going
to
need some inspiration.
Any other day?
I'm going to ask Ryan. Ryan, if you needed to play one song for me to get me going, knowing that you only had one shot, what song would you play for me to get me into, one, a better mood, more energy, more excited? What song would you play?
He's digging them up right now. I think he's got one.
I know.
Well, you don't have a lot of time.
I'm going between two.
Like, you got like 5 seconds, okay? If you don't do five, the bomb explodes. Okay?
Choose
five,
option A or option B.
4, 3, 2, 1. He's cheating, though. I give him these songs all the time, so he's...
Well, you asked him to pick out something that would get
apparently a bomb was about to explode, you know, working under pressure here.
What's he supposed to do?
What?
Pick something you're not going to like?
Ryan.
He paid attention.
Ryan, give Ryan credit.
It's unusual. He's paying attention today. It's good.
Ryan, what would you play for Glenn? What would you play for Glenn? And it can't be the Glenn Miller Band. And it can't be...
That's well,
you know,
before my time. Now you're really dating.
What's the guy... all the big bands, you know,
big bands
Welk
are well before my time.
What, no, they're like not. Frankie Valli.
Yes, they are. Way before
Frankie
my
Valli
big
wouldn't
bands.
Be big band.
Big bopper.
The big bopper.
Who do you think I am here?
You're like 75.
But the Glenn Miller Band is somebody who's 95 to 100. I mean, what are we talking
Glenn
about?
Miller, the Glenn Miller is not... They're 40s, your age. 40s. Glenn Miller is...
What are you talking about?
Huh? There you go. That's you.
This is the only
Jimi
thing
Hendrix.
That can get Glenn to be quiet for 20 to 30
oh my God,
seconds.
I know.
Wow! I'll tell you what. A guitarist who can actually make his guitar speak... talk as opposed to just play notes. That's
you know beyond. those old cartoons where like a dog will be dreaming and then he'll envision himself chasing a rabbit and catching the rabbit. Glenn, when he dreams, when he moves his leg like a dog does, he envisions himself playing left-handed guitar like Jimi Hendrix. That's what you see, right? You see yourself, your shirt's off, you got a bandana around your head, you're playing at Woodstock.
This is for Glenn too. You don't like MacArthur Park, Glenn?
It goes about 10 minutes long, this song. This is the actor, Richard Harris.
Who is it?
MacArthur Park. Richard Harris, the actor.
Oh, my God.
It's a great song. It just goes on forever and ever and ever. No, it's an interesting song.
We actually did this about a year ago. We tried to get Glenn to kind of open up on his music taste, and this was actually one of the songs he picked.
You know what? Very widespread.
I remember that. This was his funeral song, or this was... it was really long, right? It was... Glenn picked the
Glenn picked
the longest song to play at his funeral.
I want attention.
If you're at somebody's funeral and they're playing a song and the song is so long, people are looking at their watch going, listen, we got to go. We've got to leave.
It's like, I'm not sad that he's gone anymore. I kind of hate him now.
You can't leave at a funeral, though. It's embarrassing. When you get up, everybody knows. Oh,
exactly. So if you play some long-ass song, you're torturing everybody. Now they're going to sit there and act like they care still, and they actually don't. The tears have dried up, and they're like, okay, I'm over this guy being dead already.
So Ryan said something to me interesting during the break. He said he's not a golf fan, and yet he was glued to this thing this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm ruined for golf going forward. Never really liked it. Thought it was kind of a boring game. But I thought TNT and Brady and Peyton and the announcer, I thought it was just a wonderful job. And I think it would have been good even if there wasn't a pandemic going on.
See, I want to throw that out.
But now I'm screwed because now I expect every event is going to be as entertaining, they don't like the guys up. I know it's not. Yeah,
they don't like the guys up. They've got, like, boom mics around, and you can pick up what some of the guys are saying. I will say this. After watching it yesterday and knowing that it was going to be a more relaxed atmosphere, they're trying to raise money for a charity, which they did a great job. They raised $20 million. Tiger Woods is boring on the golf course. I mean, he's a great player, and his game may be the most fun of any golfer to sit there and watch. But, oh, my God, talk about just doing business out there on the golf course. Wouldn't you say?
Wasn't he the most
boring of the four.
Yeah, it's almost as if, I mean, there were some good personalities out there. I mean,
well, Peyton Manning, I thought, was great, and Mickelson's got a personality.
Man, no. I mean,
some people don't like him for some reason.
So does Brady. My thing with Tiger is he just so competitive that he can never turn it off?
Yeah.
Does a game of like with Jordan, would a game of horse turn into the most competitive atmosphere you've ever seen in your life? Because he always has to win. I feel like that's the way Tiger Woods is kind of wired. It's almost as if, you know, Tiger and Brady have a lot in common as far as just how they go about their business, and Manning and Mickelson, well, are probably more similar like each other. Even with Manning's like self-deprecating personality, he's always making fun of himself. You always appreciate that side of him. Because I remember even when Manning was still playing, there was this whole comparison of the two, who Brady related to, people who liked him, and who, as far as just marketing. Like, Manning would do the Buicks, and he would do, you know, everyday stuff
that
the ever guy.
Right.
Right. And then Brady was doing a $10,000 mattress, the Movado watches.
The elitist commercials.
Yeah, he was doing, what was that car that he was for a while now?
Audi.
Yeah,
Aston Martin. Oh, no,
Martin.
He did.
He was doing the Aston Martin.
Yeah, that's what he did.
And Manning did a Buick. So you can see where
Shaq
the two
did a Buick. Remember Shaq did the Buick? Couldn't fit in it, but he did.
I know,
Buick.
But the two, the different sports. So it is interesting that, you know, I noticed that also with Tiger. Just can he never relax?
He was boring.
I mean, even if it's for charity. I mean, I have a hard time believing he doesn't have a personality.
So he was being interviewed. Amanda Baliones, that was her name. She was in the cart right next to him, and how many times did she ask him a question? And he just didn't even answer. Now, maybe he was having technical difficulties because at one point, I guess Brady was the...
There was a torrential downpour for about a quarter of the match, which, again, also made it very entertaining to watch them try to play through that. But, he had the implausible deniability.
But he didn't react to stuff. And she's asking him questions, and he's not even reacting. It's almost like, you know, he takes his drive. He gets into the cart. He's driving to the fairway. She's trying to ask him what he did or whatever. And he's like totally ignoring it, like thinking, oh my God, what's the distance? What do I need? What club? What am I doing? And
well, let me ask you this. Brady was
that way, by the way, I thought in the front nine. I thought he was boring until he finally made that chip shot on the seventh, and then he finally had some life to him.
Well, they didn't win a hole until the 11th. So they were behind from the very beginning. They were always playing catch up. I would say this, based on everything, all the elements and everything that was going on, all the distractions. I mean, golf is the one sport where you don't want anybody talking to you. You don't want anything in your ear. You don't want to do it. No, I get it.
Right.
But to play well, most golfers want complete and utter silence.
And I think that's the way Tiger approached it.
Yeah.
And I think Phil Mickelson approached it much differently. Peyton Manning did as well.
Pretty good,
I think,
putt, considering the crowd noise I was having to deal with.
I think what Brady was doing is Brady out of the gate was nervous. And then he starts driving into the woods and into the water and everywhere else. And notice he picked up as he gets in the cart. He looks at his phone. And you know, guys are just busting balls at that point. Mm-hmm. And he's probably losing a little bit of confidence. So he kind of silenced down. You know, he was very quiet. And then when he finally makes that chip shot on the seventh, and he's laughing with Barkley back and forth, that's when he showed some life. And he had a little bit more life, I thought, for the rest of the match. But early on, he seems scared to death.
Well, and
notice what Twitter was doing. Everybody loved it. Why? Because it's the first time they saw Tom Brady look human, look like every other hack golfer out there.
So he played a round before the round, right?
They
so
all
he
did.
Played.
Right.
He played 18 holes and just to kind of get himself going, which puts a lot of golf, man. But they're playing in a cart, so fine. So he's a little nervous. I think you actually like him more. If you were one of those fans that really hated Brady because you thought he was an elitist, because you thought he was a know-it-all, because you hated his personality, or maybe he just always beat your team, I don't think you can walk away from that and hating this guy. You saw what he was dealing with. His pants ripped.
Yeah.
It's another indication of how he's no different than any of us. His pants are ripping as he's going to pick up his ball. Now, those are Under Armour pants. I'm sure they can't be happy about that. I mean, does he return them? Does he return them? He's the spokesperson for Under Armour. It's one of the most watched events of the year so far.
But he came out with a second pair of Under Armour, but it looked like they were two sizes too big for him.
Isn't that funny?
So when you talk about people, though, I can tell you, you get the fat ones.
It just everything that could happen to him that could embarrass him, or
it was bad.
I would say another person who was so uptight or so concerned with the way they look, it just shows you that he isn't. He doesn't care what people say. He's just as goofy and silly as Peyton Manning. He just has a totally different approach by it.
Well, I thought it was interesting that none of the announcers, nobody was willing to talk about ripping the pants. And Brady must have realized it because, as I said, he was carrying his phone around. So he must have seen the fact that social media just lit up and everybody's just bleeping on him about how he split his pants. And everybody's got the pictures and the wide shot. And they're expanding it and whatever. But he was smart, so he addressed it.
By the way, did you just add some rain pants or change pants? Or
I split my pants.
You got so excited that you split your pants after making that?
Well, so much torque in that swing.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes. Sorry, guys. You haven't seen that kind of power from Tiger yet.
That's
today.
Good point.
Let me check the seam on his. Yep, his are still fine. So.
By the way, the Michelob Ultra Hole-in-One Challenge.
He's older than me. Actually, all these guys are older than me.
You know what I wish somebody would have
By
done?
The way, the
they
British
did,
guy,
they didn't
you,
do it.
You notice that? You always have to have like a token Brit in a golf match.
Yeah, so they can insult you and you don't know about it. they'll insult you with their British accent and you don't even know they're making fun of you. Nobody used the exploding ball trick.
What is that?
What do you mean? The exploding golf ball trick?
Oh,
you replace their ball and it explodes. Yeah. Wouldn't there are some
like
shenanigans.
The Harlem Globetrotters
right
did like
yes.
80 years ago.
Nobody got confetti thrown on them. That's one thing I was
Tiger wasn't doing any of that. Tiger took it so seriously. Oh, my God. And that was the one thing that I got out of it is that you're right. He's one of those guys that every time he goes on the golf course, it is business. Right?
Well,
right?
Yeah. And you know what else I got from this? And now, this is maybe a 30,000 proactive, foreshadow. I think this is a foreshadowing point of view that I'm going to give you right here. Because I feel like the relationship between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady can be a little bit like Apollo Creed and Rocky Balboa from Rocky III.
Oh, my God.
Hear me out. So in Rocky III, Apollo Creed comes back to train Rocky after he gets beaten up by Mr. T, okay, by Clubber Lang. And it's so good that they build this great bond that lasts forever until ultimately Rocky Balboa technically is responsible for killing Apollo Creed. That's a sidebar. We can talk about that at a later date.
We'll save that, yeah.
But I would say I can easily see Peyton Manning
training Tom Brady.
No, not training him, but being almost like an ally, just with, because Bruce Arians already has a relationship with Peyton Manning. Those guys have worked together. I can see the relationship. They're not at odds anymore. They're not sharing secrets anymore. We already know that Brady got one of his favorite plays from Peyton Manning when they were watching film together.
Yeah.
I can easily see Peyton Manning at some point in time being such a great friend and ally and partner with Brady that he's actually down in Tampa and they're game planning together.
Oh,
they're sitting. What do you mean? No. We're going to hear a story about this. Please. Why would it happen?
So wait a minute.
Why wouldn't it happen?
Well, the greatest player of all time is going to sit there and bring in as his confidant,
not
his trainer.
In.
What? Oh, Manning's just going to show up. Hey, Tom,
no, I think
you're not
I
here.
Think I think
Tampa.
I
just
lots
I'd
of times
help you out a little bit. The greatest player of all time is going to ask the third, fourth, or fifth greatest quarterback of all time to come in and help him.
Yeah, no, I don't think it would be, hey, help me with this. It could be that, but hey, how would you do with this? What would you do with this? How do you see this? Is there? I just think like the more
can't they do that in a phone call, he's going to show up to Tampa. And
you could do it on a Zoom, no, but I can just see them. Hey, I'm going to come pay you a visit. Manning's not doing anything. He doesn't have Peyton's place anymore. We're going to sit down,
no,
and I can easily see. Oh, they got season 2.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't know.
He's doing more stuff now. He's actually going to be doing more stuff. He turned down doing the network announcing, which, by the way, I think he would have been really good at. His personality is great.
Yeah, but why can't
I think he's entertaining as hell.
But why don't you think that could be? Why don't you think that could be something that would happen? Why don't you think that they could partner up on this?
I wouldn't be surprised if during the course of the season, if Tom is having difficulty, you know, he has a phone conversation with Manning, and Manning says, "Hey, you're doing this wrong, or you're doing that, or I noticed you're doing something that you didn't do before." I could see that happening. Being in partnership, like
Rocky III?
No.
You need somebody. I can easily see them watching film together, sitting in a room with their clicker, saying, "How do you read this? Well, do you see anything that I don't see?" Yeah, right. That is what the greats do. You bounce ideas off each other. He's done. Peyton Manning has nothing to gain but adding another chapter of how cool he is to his resume. Hey. Oh, by the way, he was at odds, and he was always competing against Brady.
Yeah, what he needs is to help Tom Brady. So Tom Brady is brilliant at 43. So he is separated even further on the totem pole from Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady's doing it at 43. That makes all the sense in the world.
Do you think that Manning has any delusions of that he's even comparable to Brady?
Yeah, in his mind, I think he does. I think he's
gap.
1 and 1A. I think in his mind,
but
I'm
still,
not saying
he'll
it's
never
accurate.
Be one. It doesn't matter. Brady could poop down his leg 100 times, and Manning will never catch him. Eli Manning, who, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, made an appearance. Now he's on Twitter. So he let the world know that Eli Manning now is on Twitter.
Isn't that great?
And because he was working with...
I was excited. What did you follow him right off the bat?
Frank's... He was involved with Frank's Red Hot, the whole whatever hot sauce. So he kept doing all these silly tweets as he was watching the match. But no, I do believe that there is something cool about being part of Brady... winning another one at his age.
Save it. We'll get into it more because I want to get into more stuff about Brady anyway today. But we want to get to the phone calls and get to you at 617-779-7937. Did you enjoy this? And did you enjoy it only because there was nothing else on? Or was this really a good sporting event? Here's Chris. Chris is in Worcester here on OMF. Hello, Chris.
Hey, OF, we'll call it. But thanks for taking my call, and thank you both for working this holiday weekend. You know, this is awesome.
We didn't have a choice.
I look Glenn and for you. I looked forward to this when they first started announcing this, and I had my own ideas. Like, I would have loved if they played this at Augusta. That would have been way awesome. That was just one comment. Would have been awesome if they were at Augusta. But anyways, I loved it because there was the coaching from the two players. I loved that, the talking. I think that was very important. You know, there was like, you know, Phil lining them up or, you know, Tiger or whatever, you know, teaching, you know. And what else did I love about it? I loved the people jumping in, whether it was Russell Wilson, Barkley, whoever. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was great to have A-Rod in the middle of it. That was awesome.
Yeah,
and he didn't even give up anything of his own to the charity. He forced J-Lo to give up like a big package of tickets to her concert and everything else, right? Yeah.
Nice. If I could just one last comment, if you don't mind. For me, and then like I said, I would have loved it if it was at Augusta, if you guys would comment on it. Probably not, but what I would have loved if it was the GOATs versus, you know, the underlings, you know, like if Tom Brady and Tiger versus Phil and Peyton. For me, that would have been a little more interesting in my mind.
Why?
Thank you, guys.
Oh, because they're the greatest of...
The two GOATs and then the two, you know, the ones that wanted to win all the time, you know, whatever, you know? Just thank you both.
Yeah, okay. To me, maybe they were looking at the personalities, which I thought was clear. If you had Tom and you had Tiger... I'm afraid that Tom never would have come out of his shell, even after that great chip shot on the seventh, if he was with Tiger, because Tiger was just
They split him up like that on purpose because they probably assume that Mickelson's got the bigger personality, is willing to play along, and they probably assumed that Brady was going to be quiet. And then you put Peyton with Tiger, who, you know, obviously they were right that he was going to be more just dialed in. And, you know, because he didn't
just home course
get anything.
Too, right?
They just get bragging rights. That's all they get. They get bragging rights. And I don't even know if I would count that. But I was impressed with just the way that Brady carried himself, because he's always criticized for everything, and people are always trying to find cheap ways to take shots at him. And they had every single opportunity to do it yesterday, from how badly he played to the fact that his pants split. Here's the most one of the most recognized athletes in the world, and he can't get a pair of pants that fit.
Hey, listen,
and it's sponsored, and the pants that he's wearing are from the company that he reps and has their ownership in. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people
recall,
saying today, and
I'm
speaking for friends now, not myself. A lot of people look at it and say, we got a lot in common now with Tom Brady.
I split my pants.
Yeah. Here's Matt in Rhode Island, next up on EEI. Hello, Matt.
Guys, how you doing today?
Good, man.
Excellent. This is a phone call. I told your producer, I played a competitive round of golf with Tiger Woods.
You have? How did you do that? How did that happen?
That was in 1992, 1993. We both were the same age. The Big Eye Youth Golf Classic, which is in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Pinehurst number 7, actually.
Okay.
Just got paired with him randomly. And, he's a really strange, he was a really strange kid. Very introverted. All the other kids stayed like at houses of people that lived nearby. You know, he stayed with his dad. He just really was a well-liked kid. I didn't play the AGA tour, AJGA, but a lot of the junior golfers, you know, they didn't care for him much. But my point being, 2 points. The guy that just wrote the book on the Patriots, do you know what I'm talking about? It's coming out later this year.
The new one that's coming out? Jeff Benedict is the guy's name.
Oh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He wrote a book on Tiger. That was
he did.
A compliment.
You're right.
Right. And
Armin Katayan, I believe, right?
Believe so, too. The book was just not very complimentary on Tiger, and it's all true. Like, even on tour, I have a friend that caddies on tour, and Tiger's a complete jerk. First of all, with all that money that he has, he's known as the cheapest guy on tour. Like, he never leaves a tip. Like, they usually tip the locker room attendants. Like, one time, my buddy told me Phil Mickelson gave the locker room attendant like $10,000 in cash.
Jeez.
You know, they all leave a little piece, you know? I mean, God, Tiger, like, skips out on it. Christian, you can ask this, because Tiger's in LA a lot. Like, he goes around, like, he's the worst tipper in the world. Anyway, like, I just wanted to throw that out there. He's just a strange dude, and, you know, with all that money he has, like, I think he's a jerk.
All right.
Okay.
And it's been close to 30 years since he played with Tiger, and I think Tiger's probably changed an awful lot over those close to 30 years, but he did seem very quiet on this course. For some reason, Phil Mickelson, maybe because he choked so often down the stretch and Tiger Woods was just the opposite, he'd trail on the final day and he'd make great comebacks. So maybe he was beloved because of that, and Mickelson was constantly, you know, Mickelson, they joked about him and laughed about him. Remember the man boobs? I mean, people had a field day with that guy, Christian. And yet he seems like a fun guy, does he not? When he's mic'd up, my impression of watching him yesterday for 5 freaking hours was he was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought the whole event was great. I think this is just, even when everybody, I think when we come out of this, I think this is an event that you have every year. Now, there's definitely need to have a rematch now, right, since this one blew up, and maybe have it at a different location. They'll be doing this every year. To me, there's the obvious things that stand out. You know, how cool it was, the personalities, the banter back and forth. I mean, the golf wasn't great. I mean,
no.
I hate playing golf in the rain. I hate even watching it in the rain even more. But just watching Tom struggle, and then watching Twitter and how people just enjoyed it so much.
Oh,
like, everybody had a comment. Sean Payton had a comment.
Everybody
had something to say. J.J. Watt has said something that we can all relate to. And J.J. Watt, and I'm just paraphrasing here, is just how, you know, he's like, you know, Brady is one shot away from throwing his clubs into the water. Like, you know, if you miss and you just want to chuck your club into the woods, done that 1,000 times. Done that 1,000 times. So that is, to me, I think, if you didn't like Brady before, if you were holding a grudge against him, you realize that he's, despite his money and his status and everything he's accomplished, he's more like you than you ever imagined.
So in other words, because he was so bad, with the exception of maybe 2 great shots, he had a chip shot and he had a putt later on, that was pretty impressive. Other than those two shots, he was so freaking bad in the golf course. That's a good thing. That people are now looking at Brady and say, the guy that was the elitist, that did all of the elitist sponsors commercials, he's just like me.
I would sucks on Brady, the golf course.
I would take it one step further, though.
Because I don't think he had great personality yesterday.
The part that you're missing, Glenn, is that, okay, we've all been there before, but we've lost our crap. We've lost our minds. We've completely imploded. He didn't. He didn't implode. He actually kept it together. But still, I would say under these circumstances, nobody would hold it.
If he did that.
No. Under these circumstances,
a charity event. You're throwing your clubs.
I would have chucked him. I would have thrown him in the water and said, "I'm only playing with my 7-iron." That's what I would have done. Or I would have thrown it. Listen, I'm more accurate with my arm than I are my clubs.
All right, 617-779-7937. We got a lot more to get to, including, I don't know if anybody stayed with it at the end. After the event was over, they presented the check and whatever. They actually sent Charles Barkley out on the 18th and had a contest in which he could raise up to $400,000. He did not. And he choked.
On the last putt, he needed to make a bogey on the 18th hole, and he had it. It was like a, I don't know, 12-yard putt. He could have made it.
It was embarrassing. It really was. We've all seen Charles play before, and he's pretty bad at it, though. It's amazing to me, a guy that plays as much golf as Charles does, and he's a professional athlete who was one of the greats in his game, is so freaking bad at golf. I could understand it if he played like 3 times a year, 5 times a year or whatever. He plays all of the time.
Hey, Tom, how many shots you want? This Chuck.
And he really, really sucks at it. All right, and we'll get to the NHL and the NBA. The NBA is apparently going to play at Wally World. That's what they decided on. We'll get to all of that and more right here on a live edition. That's right, we're live here on OMF.
First one's here.
But we're so far away, Clark.
Right. And at the end of the day, when the lot's all full and everybody's fighting to get out of here, we'll be the first ones out, too, right?
Why?
Because we're the Griswolds!
Come on, I'll race you.
Sorry, folks, we're closed for 2 weeks to clean and repair America's favorite family fun park. Sorry!
What?
Clark, what are you doing?
We watch his program. Buy his toys, we go to his movies.
He owes us. Doesn't he owe us? Huh? He owes the Griswolds, right? Right, he owes us.
So very much like the Griswolds, Wally World was closed. The NBA is going to Wally World. And guess what? Everything's going to be virtually closed. Now, that is except for Disney Springs. So how's this all going to work? So they're going to go to the Wide World of Sports, which is about 250 acres, so there's a lot there. There are 3 different arenas that they can use to play basketball games. But if you bring all of the teams down there, how are they going to work out the schedule? Are we actually going to have weekday games at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning? Because how many games can you have at night?
Well, I think I would like to remind you that, okay, so you talk about the Wild World of Sports complex down there in Disney World. That is also the place of the AAU National Championship, which a lot of these guys have played in. They hold this tournament there. So this is going to be, a lot of these guys have probably been down there, and this would be like a little reunion for them. This is easy for Disney World to pull off. Very easy. They're used to having multiple sports tournaments in the middle of a pandemic
because they have also issued this. This is from Disney World right now to let the public know because they have opened up one portion of it. If you know where Disney Springs is, Disney Springs is an area where they have all the restaurants and the bars and stuff like that. Yeah, it used to be something else. They changed the name. It was the Marketplace or it was something else. And
so it's like a promenade with a bunch of shops.
It's now called Disney Springs. It's huge. It's gigantic. And you can walk the whole thing and there are restaurants and bars and stores and everything else. But they're slowly opening it up. But here's what they're doing. They're sending out this statement to everybody, and it's going to be plastered everywhere in the park. An inherent risk of exposure to COVID-19 exists in any public place where people are present. COVID-19 is an extremely contagious disease that can lead to severe illness and death. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, senior citizens and guests with underlying medical conditions are especially vulnerable. So by visiting Disney Springs, you voluntarily assume all risk related to exposure to COVID-19. Now, if you're a player and you're hearing that, you go, wait a minute, hold on here, time out. I'm responsible. Isn't the NBA, isn't Disney? Because they're telling me I have to go there.
That's different. You're talking about...
So how are players going to react to this? If you're not, for an example, if you're not a playoff team and they end up in a format in which they bring other teams down there, are you going to want to play? No.
Hold on. Wait, Glenn, do you think they're... Okay, so we already know that they're going to allow players to come and go as they please.
The benefit,
they're not. Oh, yes, they will.
They can't.
Yes, they will. They've already said it.
Jared Dudley
said they will allow them to leave. He personally won't allow
he's,
LeBron.
He's saying
Anthony
it. The
Davis
league's not saying it. He's saying it.
He's on the NBA PA Players Committee.
How can they do that though? Then it's not.
Can
then
I tell
it's not
you?
A safe environment.
Can I tell you? First of all, let's just remove the whole idea of the biodome. Like, that's not going to work. The benefit of having it in one location is that nobody has to fly. You cut down the risk. You eliminate some of the issues with guys catching it. Traveling, everybody in different cities. Some cities are hotspots. Some cities are more advanced. You put everybody in one location, and then you deal with it that way. So nobody has to fly anywhere. And it's just easier for them to produce the shows, have multiple games on different weekends. Maybe you're dealing with a skeleton crew. But they're not going to – no one's going to go for the whole quarantine thing. Where like they are not allowed to leave. That to me was, you know, pie in the sky type of idea that I don't think anyone was going to go for. And now since time has gone by and people understand more of how this whole thing works and how you catch it and what you have to do to protect yourself, so no, you're gonna come and go as you please.
Well,
it's the summer. Your
we'll
kids can go with you.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's going to work that way, guys. I really don't think it's going to work that way, and I don't think.
Why? What is the alternative, Glenn?
Well, there is no alternative. If they want to play, they're going to have to isolate those guys on a certain area of that property. Okay, they're not going to be able to let them go freely because a lot of this stuff might not even be open. Like, we don't know what the story is with Disney World. The biggest problem Disney World's having right now is they truly believe, in what I've read, they can open up for 25% capacity, build it up to 50% capacity. They've already opened up with Shanghai, so they can do that, but they can't really open up the resorts because they still do not believe that a living environment where people are living in a resort in a hotel is completely safe. They believe outdoors in the heat, in an outdoor park with people, certainly they have to set up lines differently with distancing for the rides. All of that can be done, but they can't have people living together. So you're telling me that the NBA is going to risk saying to their guys, you're free to go wherever you want. You want to go to downtown Orlando, go there. And then we find out that guys test positive and that it's passing along to somebody else. If I'm the city, I'm sitting here a little bit concerned. A little bit concerned.
I guess the city is and Disney are actively pursuing them. Remember, Major League Soccer was rumored where they were in talks to try and have.
Well,
their
they were on
there.
They were on the on deck circle. If the NBA didn't work, they were going to squeeze their way in there. But who do you think ABC and Disney went with? They went with the team, the league that they broadcast, and the league that's got a lot more money to pay. MLS is going to pay pennies on the dollar to be there, right?
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just don't think that. I guess if you live by the idea that what are the whole phrase of what happens when somebody catches it. If you live by that and that doesn't, you know, allow you to make a decision, like it freezes you because you're so nervous about having to answer that question. So because you don't want to answer the question, you don't do anything.
Disney is setting up legal statements here. By visiting Disney Springs, you voluntarily assume all risks related to exposure of COVID-19. You don't think that's going to scare some of the players? Because I think the biggest part of all of this that we're dealing right now is the fear factor. The fear factor is out there, and I'm wondering how players are going to deal with it. And if you're the NBA, what you need, Christian, if some of these guys test positive, it's not the end of the world. Matter of fact, if anything, those guys are going to be fine. You know, you put them in quarantine for 14 days. They're well-conditioned athletes. They're going to recover from it very, very quickly. It's not going to be a problem. But you're telling me that the NBA is going to allow their players to float in and out of that area and go other places? I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I don't see how they get away with that. From a, again, from a PR standpoint, I think it's crazy. An optics standpoint, it's crazy. All right, 617-779-7937. We get to your phone calls coming up in the next segment, and we only leave you for 1 minute, and then we're right back at you. 1 minute, and then that is it, as we broadcast live right now from all of our Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Home Studios.